The word of excuse me. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, on your notes, page 6, Features of the Earth. All right, we are enjoined in Scripture to be quick to hear, slow to speak, with regard to the intake of the Word of God. That has to be what James is talking about in the first in James 1:19. Slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger doesn't advance anything. And it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. And therefore, putting aside, that's the rebound technique, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. Deliver your souls from what? Well, from evil, from false concepts, and from loss and shame at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that we are in Jesus Christ and that we are in the truth. Thank you for this study, for this breakthrough, for this understanding, so that we can have wisdom with regard to the creation before we are in phase 3. Thank you for everything you provide us with. Bless our time together in the information communicated, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. This overview of things is as follows. There will be a significant amount of review with regard to the topic, because a lot of aspects of it are new. Some things are not new. We taught these things back in the day, but we didn't have the model right. Oops. So, here's what we have in the order of creation. First of all, we have God creating the third heaven and the earth immediately beneath it. That is the clear understanding of everything we've covered thus far, that the earth was not created as an object out in the middle of nowhere, and heaven is way out beyond comprehension, remote from it, physically, distance-wise. Because if you try to make the spinning ball fit this, good luck. You're going to need it. It does not fit this. Imagine for a minute. Just the earth is out there spinning, but there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. No. What God created was the throne room. He created that and the earth at the same time, in the same creation event. That's the beginning of the creation of the physical order of things. God pre-existed this because he has the attribute of eternal life. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He existed from everlasting as a spirit, invisible, immaterial, but real, composing the divine attributes that we have reviewed many times. Even kids in our prep school could repeat to you the 10 aspects of the divine essence, or to answer the question, what is God? God is absolute sovereignty. Sovereignty means, you know what a sovereign is. A sovereign is over all, whether it's a sovereign king or whatever. He is sovereign, which means he has free will. Like you, he does what he pleases. Except he doesn't do things that are in violation of his righteousness, another attribute. He is righteous. He is a righteous being. That means he differentiates between good and bad, right and wrong. And we figure this out if we want to. We don't have to. But we figure this out if we expose ourselves to the Word of God to find out what he stands for and what he stands against. Any normal person would stand for and against things unless they are completely and totally corrupt, having a sense of right and wrong. Plus, God is fair. He treats everyone equally. He plays no favorites. He isn't into the favorite playing game. Everyone has the same opportunity to figure it all out. And then, as I said, he's eternal life. God didn't come into existence. Therefore, he can't go out of existence. He's eternal. Enough scriptures on that. His non-moral attributes include the fact that he knows everything. He doesn't find out stuff. Now, there may be language of accommodation in Scripture like that, but you can't go there. God knows the end from the beginning. There is nothing hidden from his scrutiny. He even knows your innermost thoughts, right down to it. He knows what you're going to think, what you're going to do tomorrow, the next day, and every day, and he's known all this from eternity past. That's why when he judges people in the judgments, he'll have all the facts. He'll know when you were in fellowship, when you weren't. He's known from eternity past who, given an opportunity, would believe in Jesus Christ. He knows that. He doesn't find out stuff. He is everywhere at once. You cannot reduce him to a place. Then omnipotence, he's all powerful. And this is illustrated in the principle of creation. He alone can bring into existence that which did not exist. And everything here in Genesis 1, let there be, did not precede, was brought into existence, and prior to that, it didn't exist. God is love. Thank God he has that attribute. His first desire is for people to find out the truth and make the adjustments to God. The first adjustment, get saved. What do I need to do? Good question. Believe in Jesus Christ and you get eternal life. And your march towards eternal judgment is done. You're not going to go where all the non-believers go. Body, soul. The second adjustment, after you get saved, you're not going to be perfect. You're not even going to live one day perfect, unless you're in a coma and in fellowship. You're going to sin. That's why, what do as a believer when you sin? You name it to God, and he instantly forgives you, every time. And the third adjustment is you need to grow up spiritually through the intake of the Word of God, so you can lay hold of the real goodies that he has for his children, the eternal reward package. He is immutability, that's I. He doesn't change. And V, he's veracity. He doesn't lie. And his plan is reflected in the Word of God in the 66 books of it. And all subjects dealt therein, he speaks only the truth. He doesn't speak double talk. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. It is straightforward. I'm not saying that every verse in the Bible is easy to understand. Far be it from that. Some things are hard to understand, more difficult, but they're understandable. And once you have the right information in front of you, you can figure it out. Now, this study is designed to inform you about the earth you live on, where it came from, what its nature is, and where it's headed. I'm talking about the physical earth that they told you in public school was a ball spinning through space. And you believed it. This is not what Genesis and the Bible teaches. Not even remotely. Be intellectually honest. The ancient Hebrews, like the nations around them, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, if you want to research this, but a lot of you, some of you, I don't say a lot, some of you, you won't search this out. Go find out what they believed about the earth. You say, well, they were pagans. That doesn't mean they had that wrong. They had details wrong. Yeah. But they were all flat earthers. All around. Only with the cosmology, the Ptolemaic cosmology, did they start trying to get cute with this stuff. And a Greek philosopher, and on down the road. But in the day of Jesus and the apostles, they didn't have to fight the battle I got to fight. Because they hadn't gone through that history where all civilization was mass duped with this. I know it's a shocker. But you stay tuned. And you stay in fellowship and you stay in prayer. But if you want to run and hide, some are. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they'll come around. Maybe something will snap. But this is like any doctrine. It's put together the same exegetical approach that I've done any doctrine, whether it's the United States and prophecy or any other doctrine. Now, if you're not truly out there in the world a seeker, you won't find the truth. You'll be like the masses, stumbling, bumbling around. But if you want the truth, and you desire, and you have a genuine fear of God, because He's going to have the last word. Everybody's going to hit that wall. It's called death. And it may be sooner than a person thinks. You need to be ready. Believe in Christ. Get in a church that teaches you the Bible. It doesn't play games. End up there to entertain you. Crank up your emotions. Feel good stuff. You feel good if you get the truth. I like this. It gives me joy. What doesn't give me joy is watching people act up. But I can't do anything about that. Like a prophet of old, I'm just out there to give the message. Now, God created the earth. We already established that He had eyewitnesses to this. Not humans. He created the angels first. That's all of them. And they were all perfect before Satan and angels fell. They witnessed this thing and they sang in celebration of it. Won't go over that again. So the earth and whatever condition it was on the ground and what the environment was like, don't ask me because I don't have any information at this point, if I ever could, that would give you any of that kind of information. We'll call that churches the earth's prehistory, before human history began. Now, according to Genesis, the first chapter of the Bible, the earth that was created in verse 1 of chapter 1, in a beginning, correct Hebrew translation. They put the definite article in there, but okay. Knock that one out. It's their Hebrew has a definite article. They don't have it. In a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I did a thing for you years ago on the use of the word beginning, the different beginnings. There is a beginning that predates this beginning, and that's eternity past. That really isn't a beginning in the traditional sense of a beginning. In a beginning, the Word was with God. The Word existed, was with God, John 1:1 and following. So, working down the line, God has this audience of witnesses. including Lucifer before he fell, the first sinner. They all witnessed it. They're all culpable. They got to see creation. Guess what? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are going to get to witness the second creation, Earth 2, which will be permanent. But that's coming up probably around the last point or so of this study, and you don't have the notes on it yet. The new earth with the new Jerusalem. This old earth will be taken out. And in its place, the new earth. But that's down the road. We covered that in the book of Revelation, but we need to include it in here. Because you start the Bible with the subject of creation, and you end it with the subject of creation. And it's a big topic in the Bible. And the world system that we live in, run by Satan and his propaganda machine, has disseminated all kinds of information to seek to contradict God's word. He's been very busy and successful. All right. The earth came under judgment sometime after it was in pristine condition. And God put in place, locked the earth down in an ice pack. Darkness was everywhere, created by God. And it was in a hopeless condition. Nothing attractive about it. As the Hebrew says, it was tohu wa bohu, without form, desolate, and void. This has to do, God did not create it that way. We got a verse out of Isaiah for that. He didn't create it that way. It started off with this mess and then made it right. No, he had made it right, then he judged it with a flood event, and then he starts restoring it so man can occupy it. And so, the first week of human history began on 24-hour days, just like we have now. And we covered the fact that on the first day, God injected the Shekinah glory in motion over the face of the earth, mimicking what he would give later as the sun. First things. This is basic. Do you know that you could teach this to a child? Would listen to you. Yes, there's questions people have. But all these, God said, let there be. If God says, let there be, boom, it happens. No stopping it. So in this total darkness, he said, let there be light. And light serviced the earth, the stationary earth, for days 1 through 3. All right. On day 2, he did something very interesting, which we covered. He created the firmament. Our earth, where is circular, he put a dome over it. A firmament. A cover, if you will. Opaque, translucent, whatever word is best for that. He put a dome over it. And this dome separated the waters beneath from the waters above. The ancient Hebrews believed that above this dome was a vast ocean. Now, in what condition that is there and how it's held up, I don't know. Nobody has any pictures of that. Now, people have done drawings of this based on the scripture to give you some idea. So that's the expanse. The waters above this dome, firmament or vault, and the water beneath it. By the time we get into the days of restoration, we get into the 6 days of restoration. Each day, he does something new. Now back in verse 2, The ice pack was thawed out. At least, all the earth was covered in water. There's been some goofy movies about that. But anyway, the whole earth was covered in liquid water. Not even one island was sticking above it. And then we move down to the day after that. What did he do next? After he established that. Next thing. For this earth to be set up, we need dry land. We can't live on water. So, I mean, the organisms he's going to put here. Some of them will live in the water, but the rest of us, we need to be out on land. So he raised up Pangaea, the original continent. He raised it up. And the water, of course, naturally ran off and sought its lowest level, forming an ocean. Before Noah's flood, there was one continent. At the flood, they were broken up into separate continents. It's a part of God trying to get the human race separated from each other, because when they're all together under one roof, so to speak, they're all the mischief that comes out of it. So he broke it all up. But before that, there was one continent and presumably one ocean. Some modern scholars believe that, and they call it Pangaea. So he got on the third day. The third day he did two things. He got bare land up and going. He just did a lift of the ground up. Now, again, as I said last night, the water didn't have to be that deep everywhere, just as long as it was covered. And it was raised up. Continental lift or something, whatever you want to call it. And the water ran off. And guess what he did on the third day? He created full-grown plants, herbs, trees, everything that you can imagine. He said, let there be. You can read it right here. Where did we get the plant kingdom? All these plants that are out there, all different kinds. The plant kingdom, God said in verse 11, let there sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. Seed-bearing plants. Because if they're not seed-bearing, they can't reproduce themselves. So whatever kind of plant, whether it's a vegetable, whether it's just a plant that's pretty to look at, produces flowers, produces whatever it does. Plants, all kinds. That is covered in verse 11. This all happened, and each of these days is 24 hours. He saved the third day for getting the land, and then as a gardener, I see it as going right over the continent like that, and all this stuff's there. It'd be like going somewhere, and there's no plants around a house of any kind, and a bunch of guys come in there with plants and grass, and you come by the next day, it's all there. These plants were all mature, as if they had been there for however long it takes a plant to grow from a seed to a monster-sized tree. That's what he did on the third day, our Wednesday, the name we've named him since then. Day three. Now, we come to day four. And in day four, that's when we get the sun, moon, and stars. Not in verse 1, but in verses 14 through 16. We'll call that the celestial realm. So the light that was serving the earth in days 1 through 3 was shut off, and suddenly in its place is the sun and the moon and the stars. The moon and the stars provide light for the daytime, the nighttime cycle, and the sun dominates the daytime cycle. And all of this from last time is in the firmament. We are in this room. We are not outside it. We will be when we leave. But we are now in it. And under the dome are these stars, sun, and moon. Therefore, The earth is dominant. And the heavenly bodies, the luminaries, serve the earth. The earth is not subject to and under the deal of the sun. The sun moves around this circle, coordinated with the moon. Oh yeah, you're going to have lots of questions. It's natural. But we'll work on things as we get to it. Now, in point Roman numeral 7 on page 6 of your notes, what does the Bible say about the earth? It is stationary. That is the opposite of what you were told in school. You were told in school that it was spinning, if you remember that, 1,000+ miles an hour at the equator. At the equator. You and your kid, maybe you had one of those spinning top things and you hit it and it'd spin around on the floor, right? Pump it up and boom, let it go. Imagine how fast it'd be spinning at what they call the North Pole. Same principle. I just give you the data for the equator. Again, something else that doesn't make sense. They also told us that the earth is a ball running around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. We can't even conceive of that speed. And the moon's also this whole time running around the earth. So what we have here, or it's we have all this that we have to try to grasp. The Bible gives me no information that this is so. The Bible says the opposite. Psalms 30:93:1, that sub D, that means there's an ABC phrase in here. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. To answer, well, I'll probably have this here in the notes. This is also repeated at Psalm 96:10 in your Bible. This is in complete contradiction. I know what they'll say. It can't be moved out of its orbit. I know that. All right, whatever. They can say what they want to say, but that's it says it cannot be moved. Also, it is repeated in Psalm, excuse me, it is repeated in Psalm 96:10. Say among the nations. Let's make a public announcement to the nations. And this announcement is still ongoing because it's in the Bible. This is an announcement to the nations. You say, well, they're not hearing the announcement. That's right, they're not. They're not listening. But it's still an announcement. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Where does he reign from? The third heaven from his throne. I know there is a problem with God's omnipresence and this figure on the throne. But he reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. And he will judge the peoples with fairness. So right above us, if you went straight up from the top of the Arctic Circle on a flat earth, I should have brought the map in here that's been made back in the day. If you go straight up a few thousand miles, you'll hit the throne of God. He looks down. All that language. He sits. He walks. And I gave you these verses. I'll give them some more of them to you. And 1 Chronicles 16:30. Another thing here. Tremble before him. You need to fear him. All the things you fear him. Tremble before him. All the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. World and earth are two just synonyms. It will not be moved. So my points in all this, features of the earth, and it has this phenomenal dome over it. the dome. There's waters above the dome, and of course we know there's waters beneath it, oceans and so forth. The waters above, the waters below. It has foundations. A ball does not have foundations. I've never heard anybody referring to a ball having foundations. That's nonsensical language. If a ball was to have, this would make the Bible look stupid. You do not ascribe foundations to something that does not have foundations. Whatever the kind of ball it is, tennis ball, basketball, any kind of ball, beach ball, it has no foundations. It rolls around. Foundations are for buildings, for instance, and so forth, for stability and to build up a superstructure on top of a foundation. Psalm 104:5. He established the earth upon its foundations, plural. So what that means is that the flat earth, the circular earth, terra firma, and the water is set upon a series of foundations that go down beneath it. You can look up online, what is the deepest well ever drilled? The biggest punch in the earth going down. You'll find out some interesting stuff, maybe. Like going up, I think they can only go so far and something happens. But anyway. And so when you hear words like the heart of the earth, that means the earth part. And down in the heart of it is a compartment where the souls of unbelievers go, known popularly as Hades or hell. That's where believers used to go before Christ led captivity captive. Now they go straight to the third heaven. When a believer dies, their soul goes directly into that heaven where I said is right up above us. Right on through the dome, boom, they're there. Other scriptures you can compare on this. Ascribing foundations. That's what you subscribe to, say, a building. A foundation. Which cannot be measured. According to Jeremiah 31, 37. Get this. It's an announcement. Thus says the Lord. If the heavens above can be measured, which would include 1, 2, and 3. There are three heavens noted in the previous notes. The one that goes from the earth up where the birds and planes fly and so forth. And then on where the stars are, all the way to the top. And the dome is heaven too, because it was named heaven. That's why I get that. And then there's the third heaven, and I gave you the verse from Corinthians. Paul died and went to the third heaven. There isn't one beyond that. For our purposes. Jeremiah 31, 37. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, if you can measure that, if you can give me the data on that, if you can give me the statistics on that, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all they have done. Well, when I went to school, in fact, I went online and asked, what is the diameter of the earth? The circumference of the earth, excuse me. Here's what they said. 24,859.82 miles. Well, they got it right down to 0.82, don't they? They know. That's what they said it is. Israel's toast. Israel has had it. And they'll roll off all these statistics. Now, even if you don't believe, you just think foundations are metaphorical or whatever on a ball, He said, if you can measure this, I'll do in Israel. Which means he's got it fixed. Well, we can't measure this one. We've got lots of statistics about things. We've got statistics about all kinds of physical things on the earth. Fills books. But the true statistic of this earth, when you measure it from outside to outside, down, all the rest, they don't have that data. He also chided Job in this department too. Can you determine this thing? The size factor? Best we could do is approximate. But it would just be an approximation. We know what the area is that we live on or that we can inhabit. We know what that is. We got that part. But we do not know what the foundations are. And we have the verse here. If the foundations of the earth can be searched out below, then I will cast off all Israel. Okay. Another one for you is, see, this is just search for data and to look it up and see if we can see the it's just another reference to the earth has foundations. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel, he will dispute. We're not dealing with that right now. So, your stationary earth with its dome has foundations. It has pillars. Oh, I know what a pillar is. Doesn't everybody know what a pillar is? Yeah, there's metaphorical pillars in the scripture, like you are going to be a pillar in the city of my God. That means you're a permanent fixture. That's what that means. You're not going to be cast out of there. Once you get into that new Jerusalem, you are a pillar in the temple. Now, the great temples and the great buildings, a lot of them had these pillars. Some of them from antiquity still stand today. They really knew how to build stuff. Parthenon in Greece. I mean, yeah, it's fallen down. They've had to do some restoration and all that. But they have pillars standing up out there. We know what a pillar is. This column that goes up. And so the earth has pillars. This is 1 Samuel 2:8. I like the Bible because it says things God does. And maybe you can fit yourself in and say, yeah, he did this for me. When you are right with God, he will do phenomenal things for you. But if you just blow this off and go off in your own understanding, you're on your own. Don't look at your overt circumstances and say, well, I'm not one. Nothing good's going to happen to me. You got your eyes on other people and everything. No, you get your eyes on the Lord. And ask him to help you starting right now in your life with whatever you're up against. And come back to Bible class Sunday morning and be here. If I told you to be here Sunday because I had a pound of gold, pure gold for each one of you, you'd come here with broken legs. You'd get some fool to put you in a wheelchair. And the truth is better than gold. Can gold keep you out of hell? No. It can do a lot for you. Can buy you nice things. But it can't protect you from the end. These are things God brags about in his word. He raised the poor from the dust. He doesn't mean all poor and he's raised them all. But he's taken people from the lowest level and raised them from homeless, helpless people. But they have to do something. Call on God. You say, all these poor people out here, living in poverty, living in these conditions, all over the world, why don't they call on the Lord? He raised the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. Does that language sound like anything that fits a globe? If you say that, I can't believe it. So, you know what someone said to me? See, they're always trying to debunk things. They're not trying to get answers. Well, what are they sitting on? Nothing. They couldn't be sitting on anything. There's the verse. He hangs the earth on nothing. So in this vast, endless space that goes on forever, there's this thing that's suspended out there like this. It's minuscule, no matter how big it could be, it's minuscule compared to the space that it's in. That's the funny part. It's minuscule. Oh, it's big, because we may look at things based on our size and so forth. That's very large. And of course, and it is to us as humans in our condition. I like to call it a speck, but it's a perfect speck with all that goes on. So the earth has pillars. How many, you say? Four. One on each corner on this square on which this round. Imagine a table, a coffee table, for instance. If you take this isn't square, it's rectangular. But if this was square, I don't have square up here. Draw a circle in it with all the edges touching. Like a table. Maybe it's got a glass insert and it goes all the way around and it touches the four edges. And the corners are, and the pillars are hanging down. Of course no one's seen them but God and angels probably. But we'll have to wait to see that. It has pillars. That always drove me nuts too. Why say it that way? He set the world on them. It could have said earth. It's the same difference. There's two words. He set it on there. You set something on something, there it is. That's a part of His engineering of the earth. Now, while this earth cannot be moved technically from point A over here to point B and be dislocated from the throne above it, like move it over 1,000 miles or something or whatever, it can be shook. He can shake it. In the day of the Lord, He will shake the earth like a shack. But it won't be moved. You know, some can be shook. So we have a verse. Job 9:6. Who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. Psalm 75:3. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars. So shaking the whole thing and moving it to another location is a different matter. He wants us to know that, and all this scary stuff about something's going to hit the earth and all the bull that you get out there, you can liberate yourself from that. And point E, it is suspended on nothing. That's what my Bible tells me. Just beneath the throne room of heaven. Heaven is a real physical place. It is as physical as any place you might go to. But it's glorious. The throne is an emerald throne. Read about it in Revelation. The colors and the glory up there are unbelievable. This is a place fit for a king and then some. Jesus called it my Father's house. And in it are many dwelling places. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. God doing more work. It is spended on nothing just beneath the throne of heaven. He stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. There's another reference to the north. All right. We'll come back Sunday. You're hanging in there. We'll find out that what holds. See, when I went to school, you know, that these old ancients believed the earth was flat, ha 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 ha, all the water would run off. No. He's got a wall around it, and it's made of ice, and it's called Antarctica. Do you know that there's no flights over Antarctica? No recorded flights. Let them try. They wouldn't like that one. Antarctica is the only, quote, continent that has a picture of its continent on its flag. More propaganda. If you absorb all of this, you're going to begin to realize that living on a ball is ludicrous. It's beyond ludicrous. Imagine if you lived on the latitude of the equator. You had a building built there. 10-story, 20, whatever. You know, skyscraper. It'd be sticking out like this. And everything above it would be sticking up, and the people down on a ball on the southern end of it would all be down. Or some version of that, right? Their up would be our down, and their down would be our up. God is not the author of confusion. He didn't put the people of the earth on this kind of a deal, like little stick pins in all around in a ball. That's what you'd have with curvature. Use your brain. Use your common sense. Get delivered from this moronic stuff. It's of the devil. It absolutely is. And people believe it so they can put God out of their thinking. You say, well, I didn't believe it to put God out of my thinking. Okay, fine. But that's why it came into existence. It's the opposite of what the Bible says it is. I've given you the evidence, and there's only so much I can do. If you want to dig your little heels in, dig your little heels in. You got volition. You want to come out of the darkness and not be a sucker for another satanic lie? You got your chance. You know, the soul is like a house with all our rooms in it. When you redecorate those rooms with the truth, they all light up and they're beautiful and everything's functional. Not just functional, it's gorgeous. Everything's where it's supposed to be. It's all well done, tasteful as it can be, and extravagant even. But if you have this one room that's all full of darkness and crap, then you need to get all that out and chuck it and take it to the curb and get the truth in you. And then you'll have that one beautiful room that's entitled creation. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.